I wish to be myself. Just to really know what that means and to continue living as that for the rest of my life.
You're tuned in to Compassionate Las Vegas, the podcast where compassion inspires action. Together, we're building a world centered in understanding, empathy, and courageous action, starting right here in the heart of Southern Nevada. We're taking the principle of do unto others as you would have them do unto you to heart. Now, let's welcome a man committed to fostering compassion in every corner of our city, a beacon of compassion in Las Vegas, your host, Will Rucker.
Welcome to Compassionate Las Vegas, the podcast. I'm your host, Will Rucker, and I am so excited that you have joined for today's program. This has been an incredible season. I am sure that you are being inspired. I am sure that you are finding hope. I am sure that you are being encouraged because I am finding all of those things. And if I'm as cynical as I can be finding hope in this season, I have pretty good reason to believe you are too. So thank you for tuning in. Today we have a very special guest, and you and I are going to get to know this incredible human together. I had the privilege of having dinner last night and just hearing the heart that beats in this amazing person. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Lauren.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
No, I'm so excited to have you here. I've seen you around. You do a lot of work at the center here, the LGBT center. And so, I mean, just kind of fill us in. Let us know what you do.
Well, I have a few different roles. I'm a content creator and a group facilitator. And I also work in digital strategy. And I'm just extremely passionate about gender healing, the idea that a gender passionate person can use their gender exploration as a means of tapping into a deeper, more universal, more compassionate, more aligned, peaceful way of being, and that the path that they're walking, gender, is the way that they orient themselves. And based on like how they engage with that path, with that life experience, it can lead them to just an incredibly connected and vibrant and creative way of life. And so I have different skills where I sort of am hoping to just support, create a container around those types of people. And so that's what my work at the center revolves around, developing programming for trans people. And then with my content creation, like my YouTube and my podcast, we're also talking about similar topics and just helping to, I guess, activate and unify a community around the world and bring them together and just have very connected, compassionate, vulnerable conversations, and then generally healing is an outcome of that heart to heart.
And healing is a big, big deal for our world today. Before we get into that, your podcast is called Gender Alchemy. Yeah. Where can we find that? Tell us how to get all of that.
Well, it's everywhere. It's on YouTube and all the platforms. So you can search Gender Alchemy, or you can, my name is Lauren Sunshine, so you can go to laurensunshine.com and just find out more about my offerings there.
Oh, you've got a .com with your name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fancy. I love
I lucked
it.
Out.
That is amazing. So a couple of things you said, and you've been participating in the Charter for Compassion retreat. Yeah. We're really blessed to be able to film on location yeah. here. Most of our episodes we do just, you know, through an online platform. But something you said at dinner really sparked within me. And it was to the effect of accepting the world and offering forgiveness.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your journey to acceptance and what forgiveness means for you.
Yeah. Well, I think that the beginning chapters of that kind of a journey starts with resistance and pushing back and being angry and generally looking at life circumstances and saying, things should be different. That person should be different. And just sort of having that in general life orientation, even if you don't consciously say those things to yourself, there's kind of that subtle energetic relationship with your surroundings that is feels like a fundamental no. And so I had just a lot of training in that way of being. And at some point when you're in that kind of a life experience, it's kind of hard to turn around and recognize that that's what's happening. But that way of life elicits just a lot of pain and suffering, right? And so eventually I reached a point where the suffering and the not okayness became so intense and so extreme that the way that it started was like this sort of recognition that I wanted to feel different. I wanted to feel more aligned and peaceful and balanced. And even though I didn't necessarily know how to get there, I had to take a look at my life and a really close analysis of my relationship with myself and all the things around me and say, is this really working? Is this serving the larger project of this vision that I have for myself, where I want to just, you know, be a kind, like, just have that kind of we all have that sort of vision of ourselves where we can see the path forward in the sense that we're living in alignment with how life is, our life is meant to be, if that makes sense. And so yeah, it just started with extreme challenge, and then there was a perspective shift where I wanted to find a different way of being, and then that thread of curiosity led me to trying new perspectives on, and so this is where I am now. But it takes, you know, quite a few steps to get there.
I appreciate so much about that, especially trying on different perspectives. Because I think sometimes in this type of work, we almost present it as this is how you have to do it, yeah. Or this is the only way you can be to be happy. Yeah. And I think it's a lot more gentle or invitational to say, just try on compassion, just try on kindness, just try it on. Yeah. And I do think we're right. I do think that's the best way to be. It's not permanent. Like, I mean, you don't have to commit, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So I like to set a foundation for our conversation. How do you define or explain compassion?
That's a great question. I feel like compassion is a natural next step or outcome of being connected to the self and being in alignment with the naturally occurring way of things. And when you are aligned and you feel a sense of interconnection within yourself and within your outer surroundings, there's just like the next domino is compassion. It's like when you recognize this this field of being that is vibrant and it's creative, and it's like we've been given this opportunity to just be creatures in this world, and you recognize the vast amount of variables that are outside of our control, and we're just like here, like all of a sudden we're here, and it's like, okay, what are we gonna do with that? Like, how do we lean into our life experience? And when somebody goes about that project and they start seeing the sameness between them and other people and other creatures and the plants and the animals, I think that that interconnection and that compassion, that commitment to living in community, and when that circle of community grows to include everything that is, you know, as far as the eye can see, I think that in a way that's like a compassionate worldview, at least in my experience.
Wow. I mean, again, so much to unpack even in that. with your experience in life, you had every opportunity to really kind of be angry, to say burn it all down, right? And I think a lot of people are in that space. I look at what's happening in Alabama, at what continues to happen in the Middle East, at what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, and the list goes on and on across the entire globe. What do you hold on to that keeps you moving forward, that keeps you saying, I can make a difference?
I really like the mentality of just what is my work to do? And just really tuning into this life experience and how compassion and activism and creating this new world, like, but how does that show up in my daily life based off of my life experiences and this, all of the variety of relationships that I'm in and like the, just the small, simple things. And so when I, you know, it can be very intimidating to consider the pain of the world. And then to be a kind, compassionate, open-hearted person, there's also this idea that you can kind of take on that pain, and all of a sudden now you're weighed down by things that are so far outside of your own domain. And so it's really been just tuning into, okay, you know, this sort of acceptance, forgiveness, okay, this is what it is, this is what's happening, and to not turn away from it, to be able to really see it, and then it's like, okay, an intelligent response would just be to live the best life that I can and to not take ownership of healing in the sense that, like, putting healing within my personal agenda, like, oh, now it's my responsibility to go out and fix all these things. But instead, I feel like my responsibility is to just live an aligned life and to have integrity with my relationships with people, my relationships with everything. And then healing is an outcome of me just being myself. And so then when the project becomes, all I have to do is be myself, that's a lot simpler. That's a lot more manageable, right?
I mean, I don't think we're still tweeting these days, but whatever the thing is we're doing, I think we're threading. We need to thread that. Yeah. Healing is the outcome of being yourself.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, well, if you consider evolution and just like life organisms, like we're self-healing, self-generating, like that's just imprinted into our DNA. And so I think that the project of healing becomes a lot simpler when you tune into just the organic substance that we are made of and how it has its own healing inclinations, and that those are just going to be an outcome of you tuning into these primal aspects of your own life experience. Wow.
And again, the project of healing, a lot of the way you frame it and phrase it, just I really appreciate it because it's so accessible that way. So what do you do when you get it wrong? So when you aren't sunshine, but you're like thunder.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do in those situations?
Yeah. Well, like compassion. but there's the idea of like a perfection is found in the imperfection. And so giving myself permission, because I don't want to be in the box of being a kind, compassionate person, right? Sometimes kindness and compassion shows up in different ways, in different situations. What's right today might be wrong tomorrow. Standing up for myself might look like this one day, or it might change. Like, you know, that's going to evolve for the rest of my life. So instead of trying to come up with a very rigid expectation of this person that I think that I'm supposed to be, like maybe there are times when I'm supposed to like fall down. Maybe there are times when I'm supposed to be a little bit mean or short. Maybe there are times when I am supposed to hurt somebody, not because I want to do those things, but maybe that's a part of the human experience. And that those dimensions of my experience ultimately lead me, like they're clarifying who I want to be, how I want to live. And if I don't have those sort of friction moments, then you know, the stone doesn't get any smoother. So it's almost like I can just roll with it, and honor that I'm a work in progress and practice what I preach, and really just make it about me and my commitment to being me, and forgive myself for, you know, not always conforming with the mind's projections of who that me is supposed to be.
What does forgiveness mean for you?
Forgiveness is related to putting down a burden, and that burden is related to sort of this fundamental no, sort of this, like, I'm mad at you, I can't, like, when I make things about other people, about external circumstances, and I make my focus about them, it creates a sort of weight within myself, because those things are not, they're not workable. Like, I can't just snap my fingers and change you into a different person. Like, that's, and if you were to treat me unkindly and that moment passes, but all of a sudden I'm holding on to that idea that you shouldn't have done that, or that, like, oh, I need something from you in order for me to feel better, that just feels very disempowering. So I think that forgiveness is this mode of being where I'm, like, taking my power back, and all the things that I'm able to let go of, I let go of them, and then I just make peace with the, you know, everything that is outside my control.
One big thing outside of your control is how others perceive you.
Yeah.
And one of the themes for this season of the podcast in particular has been addressing diversity and difference, and embracing difference with curiosity versus with distrust.
Yeah.
How do you navigate a world that makes judgments about you without knowing you? And how do you foster a welcoming perspective of diversity in the spaces that you inhabit?
Well, first I'll just consider, what am I asking of the world? So I'm asking the world to be accepting of me and to give me a chance to be myself. And, you know, the list goes on of my asks and my needs. And so if I were to flip that and, like, okay, because I can't control other people, but what can I do about this situation? Well, something that is in my control is, am I able to flip that perspective and actually give that very thing back to the world? So the things that I'm asking of other people, am I able to be that for others? And because, again, this is, like, my opportunity to create the world that I want to live in. And if I'm constantly allowing other people to be who they are, which includes people that judge me, which includes people that treat me poorly, which includes people that are actively working to take away my rights, like, if I can recognize our common humanity, and if I can have compassion for them, and not from this, like, ooey gooey, like, because it sounds cool to say something, but, like, actually truly do that work and to see somebody through the eyes of the compassionate heart, all of a sudden that becomes my world, right? And people are, no matter what, there are gonna be those moments when people don't accept me. Like, that's never gonna change for the rest of my life. So it's not like I can just eliminate those types of experiences and those types of people, but what I can do is create an inner environment and immediate surroundings with all based off of my orientation and how I'm treating people and how I'm interacting with the world around me.
So what I just heard you say is you want to be the change you wish to see in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And that's really quick detour my story, right?
Yeah, please.
My first time kind of engaging with the Moonridge Group, who is actually the, Compassion Las Vegas is a program of Moonridge Group. But at the first, like, breakfast or luncheon I went to, they had little placemats with different sayings. Everyone was different around the table, and my assigned seat just so happened to say, be the change you wish to see. And that's been like my model personally. It was my mom's model. She had it on her desk at work. So it's one of those things where when I hear it in different ways, it really sparks within me. And it excites me because I don't feel alone in that. That doesn't make being the change easier for me. And it does make it easier because I know that so many others are experiencing life in a similar way. So for you, what is the change you wish to see?
I know that within myself, as I've been walking in the healing path, as I've become more connected to myself and just more authentic and more vulnerable, that has created an opening in my life for me to experience a sort of closeness and a sort of intimacy with not only people, but everything. And so when I say that I'm extremely passionate about gender healing and that this idea is like guiding my life, I think that there's also a part of that when somebody else starts to become more open and more kind and their nervous system is more regulated and they have a better sense of how to be in relation, all of a sudden I get to be closer to the truth of that person. And so I think that...
Gotta pause you. Closer to the truth of that person.
Yeah.
I love that for so many reasons. And chief among them, principal among them, is the fact that I believe at the core of every person is goodness and light. And I think that the experiences we have gone through sometimes put these layers on us to that theme that need to be peeled off.
Yeah.
And if we can just get to the truth of who people are, I believe that we don't just love, but we are love.
Yeah.
And so I love that.
Yeah. And it just feels so good to get, when you can finally get past those walls and those barriers and that armoring, and you can just meet somebody in love. Like, to me, that's the most rewarding, like, that's what makes life worth living, right? And so the more that I can experience that, and it's just, there are times when you don't have those types of relationships in your life, or you don't know how to be in those kinds of relationships, or you're in a chapter of life where you just don't have access to healthy people. And for me, I spent a lot of years in those chapters, and so that person might wonder, like, well, how do I experience that intimacy, that closeness, that being in love? And so for me, I turned to the natural world, just the elements, the earth and the sky and the trees. And that's actually how I learned how to be in relation with people, is I learned first how to be in relation with myself and then with the land and with just everything that was kind of outside the human dimension. It's almost like I needed that sort of training or that sort of initiation. And then I brought what I learned from that into my human relationships. And I think it's important to highlight that kind of stuff because the human dimension is so messy, you know, and it's always going to be messy. And we don't have access to the people that we want to have access to, or the parts of ourselves that we want to have access to. And so it can almost be easier to be intimate with a tree and to have a heart to heart with a tree than it can be with another person. So I think that that's a good like starting place for a lot of people. At least it was for me.
Yeah. And I love that. In my high school years, I went to a boarding school in the middle of basically the forest. We had lake on each side and trees in between. And there was such a magic to that space and such a authentic like school of development that happened outside of the classroom, that happened in nature. And I just resonate with what you said. And I'll also share, I have three dogs right now.
Yeah.
And I have two turtles and an assortment of fish. But my dog I'm thinking of in particular, his name is Pee-wee. We call him Mr. Wee. But he's a little 10-pound Yorkie. And he's consistent. Yeah. And I think that's the difference between the human messy element and nature and yeah. and animals, and even my turtle is consistent. I have two. One is Fred, one is Ethel. Fred wants me to feed him all the time. That's what he wants. Ethel, just she's fine. She just goes about her business. But it's so interesting the personalities they have, but they're far more consistent than my human relations.
Yeah.
And I think that that is a great way to begin exploring, especially if you've experienced significant trauma.
Exactly.
To be in a safer, because there's no like safe, right? But there is safer. And being in those spaces really gives us the opportunity to then just try out, try on, as you would say, some of these other relationships. So I really appreciate you sharing that. Now, you also do breath work, if I understand correctly.
I do, yeah.
Talk about the breath.
Well, I think in general, breath, in my experience, it's been very much associated with the nervous system and my ability to feel safe in the world. And so breath work, I don't need to turn it into some crazy modality, but it's just like, all of a sudden becoming aware of the breath and taking time throughout the day to just breathe and to be aware that you're breathing. And that's, it doesn't matter, like the breath is the constant throughout our entire life experience. And it's almost like breath is this in and this out, which is related to like duality, which is polarity, which is like how the 10,000 things came to be based off of, you know, different spiritual lineages. But there's like, so there's embedded within breath, there is an ability to tap into primal truths about the nature of our universe and how creation works. And when you can honor both the good and the bad and within yourself, and you can recognize the sameness between self and other, and when you can hold seemingly contradictory parts of your experience, that is the breath, right? That's the in and the out, because both in and out is breath. And both the part of myself that I don't like and the part of self I do like, the, you know, there's nothing that's existing in isolation. That's what I'm saying, right? I don't exist in isolation. I exist in relation to you. You are the other side of me. It's the same coin. And so that looking at life as the entirety of the coin, as opposed to getting stuck on this side or that side. And that's where, you know, at the root of divisiveness is getting stuck on one side of the coin or other. So when you become aware of your breath, you become aware of everything.
I think some of the most profound things in life are the most simple. And just taking time throughout the day to be aware of your breath is such a powerful practice. It's something that I've chosen to learn and to employ in my day-to-day, just breathing. If I'm in a meeting and I'm like, this is getting on my nerves. it's amazing how the entire body responds to that breath. I think that's really powerful. So let me ask you this. The world is changing, evolving. There are lots of conflicts, but there's also lots of advancement. Things are changing faster than we can keep up with. What's the one thing that if you had a billboard and you could say anything and the whole world would see it, what's the one thing you would say?
I would tap into this idea that your birthright is healing and compassion and love. And that you saying yes to life and just agreeing to be who you are. And when somebody says be who you really are, think of all the different levels that you could interpret that. And when who you really are, when that at the ultimate destination is love, right? And each level, each layer where you're constantly moving towards who you really are, and then all of a sudden you're embodying and you're expressing love, that is the truth. And so on the billboard, I would say, be who you really are. And then asterisks, I would have to give a little bit of context.
You give the website to people to go find out more.
Yeah.
I love that. Be who you really are. All right. As we come to a close, I just want you to finish a few sentences for me. So whatever pops into mind, it doesn't have to be well thought out. Like whatever pops up, that's what I want to hear.
Okay.
We'll start easy. Love is?
Radiant.
The best things in life are?
Simple. Mm-hmm.
If I had one wish?
I wish to be myself. Just to really know what that means. Mm-hmm. And to continue living as that for the rest of my life.
Wow. Last one. I am.
It's already been finished. That's what it is.
Wow. All right, I'll take that. I love that. Wow, no one's ever actually said that before. Yeah. Wow.
That's what we have in common, yeah. Right? That's that link between us and all of life.
Well, Lauren, this has been beyond a pleasure.
Likewise.
Thank you so much for joining the podcast. And I look forward to hearing your podcast, Gender Alchemy, and getting to know you as you continue on your journey of compassion. So welcoming you into the fold. I'm so grateful for just who you are.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you. Thank you for everyone listening.
This has been Compassionate Las Vegas, the podcast. I'm your host, Will Rucker. And as I always remind you are not just a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop. And what you do matters. So live compassionately. I'll see you next time.